Your bitch want my boner. I check around the counter, then I get a bonus.
A podcast that takes on a variety of topics from pop culture to everyday life. I'm Chantel C. You can call me CC, and I'm joined by my partner in organizing, Denise. Why are you so crazy? Why?
Stop being an ableist.
Okay, my bad. You are correct. That is a non-PC word. I do apologize. How are you today?
I'm okay. I'm doing well. It's still summer in Vienna. I like it.
It's summer in London. We rolling hot, 30, 35 degrees. It's cool. It's cool. So this week has been an interesting one. The Olympics wrapped up. There were some lows and some highs. A woman even wrote, I don't know if you saw it. Did you see that article about the woman who wrote what's going to keep Black women from meeting their aspirations to be Simone Manuel is the hair factor? I was like, really? Hair is going to keep us from getting in the pool? Wow.
Yeah, it clearly hasn't, right?
It clearly hasn't.
Well, have you seen that diver? Like, divers' bodies are crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. They're great. I got to think of other words
Yeah,
now.
See? Nah.
But it's a challenge
out.
I'm willing to accept. Divers' bodies are like brick houses.
Yes.
Really nice. Oh my goodness. I had no clue that they were that fit.
People who were in the pool have like the strictest diets, much stricter than I had when I was doing track and field. It's no joke. It's no joke. And someone who went to the Olympics after leaving Twitter, she came back on Twitter, stormed Twitter with her hilarious tweets of watching the Olympics. NBC then invited her down to Rio, where she got to comment on a lot of things. She put out a lot of support for Gabby Douglas. And then what happens to her? Her website gets hacked. And of course, I'm talking about Leslie Jones. Leslie Jones, a Black woman, 48 years old, co-stars in Ghostbusters. And her website hackers published nude pictures. They published pictures of Harambe. That's the gorilla who was killed earlier this year in the zoo. You know, no one can really verify if those pictures are really of her, but, you know, they published even driver's license and passport and other sensitive information before the site was finally taken down. Why is she under attack in this way?
Oh, because a Black woman having the power to get you kicked off of Twitter? Since when? Since when did a Black woman even have the power to, like, accuse you of rape? Right?
Mm-hmm.
In many states, Black women, you couldn't rape a Black woman. It was impossible.
Right.
Right? So all of this is very new for people and their heads are spinning because what you're trying to say, you're a human being and then you look in a way that is clearly very African, that should be inferior, this kind of thing. They can't deal with it. They cannot deal with it. So they doxed her. They've doxed other women that have shown strength on the internet. Not too long ago, a woman was killed. A YouTube star was killed.
Mm-hmm.
So the, you know, the fragile egos of meninists and their like on the internet is so very real. What I'm happy about here is that the FBI is investigating. So yeah. that's the trick is like, okay, so a little bit too high profile, but boo, this is SNL, you know, she on the television nationally weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And live, right? Mm-hmm. Like straight from her mouth to your ears. And so, yeah, I'm so happy that the FBI isn't investigating it. I don't know how they got all up in her computer like that. So I hope that she takes more precautions because digital security is a very real thing. But it's really just sad that we as women have to, you know, take all these precautions because men are so bruised when we exist in the world and say, you know what, I have a right to be in this world without being abused, mm-hmm. that they come out with things that are meant to not only hurt us, but to destroy us, to silence us, to intimidate us, and to act as a message to any other woman out there that would dare take the same stance. So Twitter has responded to her abusers in the past. This is why she came back on Twitter. Now we have the cybersecurity division of the FBI responding to this hack. So I just really want to see them pull this asshole out of his basement when they find him. I just really, that's all I want.
I wonder why people tend toward the nude pictures, though. Again, it wasn't able, you know, it wasn't possible to verify if the pictures were even of her. But why is that the form of humiliation? You remember when a lot of stars were hacked, and who was it? I think Gabrielle Union wrote that very long email to, you know, these anonymous hackers. And she was like, this is what you've done to me. This is what it means that you've published my nude photos. One, am I so prude? Because you're not going to find any nude photos of me. Does that mean I'm prude? Like, why everybody got nude photos? Know.
I'm almost feeling like, gosh, maybe I should be snapping some stuff.
What? Would you? Of who?
You know. See what it do you? In a mirror. Look. I just get in that mirror and work it out. Look at my fitness progress.
Photos for people to hack. I'm really surprised that these things just exist.
I don't even have no erotic photos for people to hack. I don't even have no thirst traps. Like, my Instagram, Matt Dry. Like, but the reason, you know, people are a lot of times, you know, we as women that Leslie is, how old is she? Do you know?
48.
Right. So I'm in my 40s too. And us older ladies, we like to see what it do. Like, you know, where's it going and how far is it going to go and how, at what speed? Like, you know, like, and then we do our little fitness things and, you know, it's good to know, like, oh, I lost a centimeter, you know, or whatever. So, you know, people take nude photos for a lot of reasons. You know, they might have health ailments that they want to check in with their, you know, cousin, brother, uncle, who's a nurse. They might have some artistic projects that they want to do with those nude photos. I'm not going to judge. You want to do nude photos?
I'm not judging. I'm just always surprised at what people have on their phones or on their computers because I don't have any of it.
I definitely don't think I have a picture of my passport, though. That's real.
I do definitely have a picture of my passport because let me tell you, I travel to countries where I do not want to wind up with no evidence of my passport. So I keep that picture digitally and printed. So if the passport disappears, I can roll right up to the embassy.
Like, yeah, you say Stacy, but your name is Kunta now.
Wow.
My name is Toby. You got to really work your way back. 12 years is late. Ooh. Okay.
In other news, Donald Glover is developing something called Atlanta. I love Atlanta. Atlanta is like my second home. It's a dramedy, if you will, that will be premiering on FX this fall, I believe September 6th. And it's very interesting because Donald Glover, some people might not know him as Donald Glover. I met him as Donald Glover because I saw his comedy first. I saw him on television. I knew that he was writing for 30 Rock. Some people might know him as Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino.
I don't even know. So there's a lot of, or I wouldn't say a lot, but a good amount of controversy around Donald Glover because a lot of Black people feel like he plays the coon. They feel like his comedy is more hipster comedy. It doesn't resonate with Black people. So he knows when he goes on tour for his comedy, it's a 50-50 chance that he's going to be, you know, in a mostly have a white audience sat in front of him. But that's what's so special about Atlanta. Complete Black writing staff. It's a first in this industry that is a completely Black writing staff. And it takes
what about Tyler Perry?
Tyler Perry's staff is not completely Black. Are you kidding me? Not his writing staff. And so Donald Glover said in a different interview, he said he's over diversity. Diversity is overrated. And with his show Atlanta, he wants to shine a light on the contextual differences that white people don't have a clue about. He went on to make a statement saying, you know, white people had one Black friend. They followed the vines where they think, you know, they follow the Black folks. They hear about the nay-nay as soon as it comes out and they feel like they know what's up. And he say, no, you don't. And so a lot of his staff comes from Atlanta. It's it's set in Atlanta. He stars in it. He's the executive producer and he's one of the writers. And I think it's dope. I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's about kind of a funny story. If people from Atlanta know anything about it, it's about a dude, Earn, who is kind of producing his friend who's trying to get his rap career started. his friend also, you know, deals drugs and whatnot. And that was an example. One of the white writers was like, oh, it needs to be in a trap-like apartment. And he was like, he deals drugs. Why would he be in a trap-like apartment? He's going to be in a regular apartment. He has money. So what do you think?
I think it's great. I especially think it's great is this, what he said about this. He said, I know when I go to Baltimore and I go to D.C., it's like 50-50. Half of them are like, I love this dude. This dude's cool. And the other half are like, this coon-ass dude. But I have no hate in my heart for no Black person ever, because we're in a position where the system has fucked us up so bad we can't always trust each other. Right. So I absolutely love that, because it's a verb. This idea that you can just be Black and therefore we love you, you know, right. You regardless of what you're doing. He's like, okay, I'm going to do this. React, respond. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that.
I think he's
super talented.
Oh, yes. Childish Gambino. Have you heard him freestyle? Oh,
so good. Gosh. So good. So like talent for days. And he's made those coins being the safe Negro, you know, next to white folks.
And he did play a Republican boyfriend on Girls, the whitest show on television.
It's called acting. It's called acting.
No, I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay.
I'm a fan. I even liked his hipster comedy. So
yeah, he's sexist as hell. But when he starts, like, it's always something for me, you know, whether it's with rapping or whether it's with comedy, I'd be like, ha ha, ha ha, and this bitch stuck with it.
I mean, help
me.
I haven't heard the sucking dick one. Ooh, that's rough.
I don't know. I'm paraphrasing the comedy routine, but okay. You know, the equivalent of this bitch. So, you know, and it's in his comedy routine too. And, you know, he says some things that some women were a bit perturbed about. But at the end of the day, which rapper has not? Like, I don't know one. So I'm really looking forward to this. I think that Atlanta's going to be dope. He's talented. It's kind of got a hustle and flow type of vibe to it. Like, just the way that you did the setup of it. Like, okay.
That's my good movie, though. But it's not going to be like that.
Yeah.
I don't think we got the bitches and hoes and we need to differentiate. I don't think we have that.
So it sounds a little bit like a dramedy.
That's what I called it. It is a dramedy.
Okay, I thought you called it a comedy. Okay.
Clean your ears. But right. I do think it's interesting. I think because, you know, Leslie Jones has been called many names concerning the tropes. And I also was not a fan of Ghostbusters, but I didn't put it at her. I put it at the writing. Donald Glover talks about how he is experienced as a comedian. Eddie Murphy is coming out with the newest of magical Negro genre. I think it's really hard as a Black comedian to like find acceptance. So, you know, the critics are already saying that this is Eddie Murphy's best performance playing Mr. Church. And I understand why, because in the film, the Black Mr. Church takes care of this white family. It's a sob story. It's a drama. It's a tearjerker. He's supposed to, you know, like I said, be the magical Negro. And critics are already raving about it, that it's his best performance. So I feel like, and, you know, Eddie Murphy played to the Black audience for years. And people are calling him a coon now because he's playing this role. So I don't think you could ever win, no matter what you do. You can't win at The Nutty Professor. You can't win on, I mean, like, you know, if you listen to Chris Rock, he talks about how important Eddie Murphy's stand-up was. So I think Donald Glover is right. Black people, they gonna hate you and they gonna love you. But at the end, do they have your back?
By and large, Black people do have your back. For example, I think Birth of a Nation, even with all the controversy surrounding it, will make a ton of money.
I think so.
Black Panther is gonna make a ton of money. And, you know, we have a Black movie canon. I have a Black movie film club, right? Like, so Black people do have your back if you make a work of quality. And sometimes, even if you don't, because remember, Redman made tons of movies.
Please stop.
Right?
Please stop. Stop right there.
He got High One and High Two, right? Like, I mean,
there was a sequel.
Yes, it's all about being high in high school.
Oh my gosh.
Like, so even with that, you know, like, people are like, oh, that's hilarious. I get the belly laughs, you know? Because we're so thirsty for cultural relevancy in the sense of, like, I'm, you know, I have seen on Netflix Netflix doesn't have a black section. They have a gay and lesbian section, but they don't have a black section. But I, you know, go through all of the trailers and I find my movies. And I remember there was one night, you know how sometimes when you get into like the Netflix zone where you no longer really exist as a being that interacts with other people.
Yes, yeah, so every weekend.
Mm-hmm. It's more of like a catatonic state. You're in the cocoon that includes, you know, whatever your snackage of choices. For me, I got my either whiskey or my red wine. You know, I'm doing my thing. You know, I'm in my zone. And it's a movie marathon for me.
Mm-hmm.
A happy place. So, yeah, but there was one time I was in it and I was just like, oh, I just want to see black people have been doing, you know, nonsense. And I went through all these like Nigerian movies that made it to the Netflix. Oh, this is absolutely ridiculous, but it's not any less ridiculous than, you know, Three Bridesmaids and a Kangaroo or whatever kinds of, you know, white nonsense people are putting out nowadays, you know, that it's just like fluff. It's like, it's all about a guy that comes home from Iraq. He found a picture of a girl. He's promised himself to find her and marry her. And then you're like, okay, well, I'm going to, okay. Because what else is happening with my life? So I guess that's what's happening right now. And so a lot of times when I'm in those spaces, I'd just be like, I'd rather see black people doing nonsense than white people doing nonsense. So I think that the support is there. And I absolutely expect a massive work of quality to come from Donald Glover. Black people have supported Tyler Perry into a bazillion dollars.
Yes.
So I think.
Well, Madea does have a Halloween movie coming out.
Yes, bitch. Yes.
I just wanted to throw that out there. Madea has a Hollywood movie coming out, and it actually looks pretty funny.
Yes. But date night.
I might do it for my little birthday. Those of you interested in Glover's show Atlanta, it premieres on FX on September 6th, and you can watch the two cousins, Earn and Paperboy, and how their life evolves and unfolds. In our second segment, I want to talk about the irritation, annoyance, and oppression of white people thinking they know it better. So obviously that is a very expansive topic, but I'm going to limit it to two subjects today. One, WikiLeaks. Now, I'm going to out you because you are someone who likes WikiLeaks, and I have always hated WikiLeaks. Always hated WikiLeaks. I don't care what anybody says. Maybe there has been some good that comes out of it, but it's always a real rocky road. Like, even my semi-love for Anonymous is real tenuous because I know that Anonymous is basically a whole bunch of white dudes. You can never be sure when the betrayal will happen. It happened this week. WikiLeaks published data from the Saudi Arabian government, and it outed people on all kinds of levels. It outed people who had been convicted and punished for, you know, homosexual activity. It outed women who had been who were domestic abuse survivors. It outed a lot of things that can potentially be a disaster for the people mentioned, because it's very easy to find up because it lists their passport numbers alongside their full names. Domestic workers who have been tortured or sexually abused. I mean, it's crazy. And when asked about it, all Julian Assange, who is the publisher of WikiLeaks, had to say was he thinks it's right because he wanted to lift the lid on an increasingly erratic and secretive dictatorship that has not only celebrated its 100th beheading this year, but which has also become a menace to its neighbors and itself. That is what kills me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I think that there's a bit of there's a bit of nonsense that is starting to happen because you're dealing with a man who's running an organization cooped up in a house in London for the last years, right?
Well, it's not a house. It is the Ecuadorian embassy, but yes.
I'm sure he can't go in every room. I mean, you know, like, I'm sure he got a wing or something. I mean, like, I don't know how dope the Ecuadorian embassy is, but it's not like Julia is, like, walking naked into, like, the file processing area, you know, hopefully. So it's like him and his treadmill and his computer. And I feel as though there's a bit of
in this, of course, you have the, you know, white man at the helm of the organization who absolutely is disregarding the needs of people of color, the needs of victims of assault and violence, the needs of people who have undergone oppression, while, of course, ignoring all manner of journalistic integrity to kind of scramble to remain relevant. And the whole story and the downward spiral of it seems very unfortunate. At some point in the past, he had said, look, we're going to take extra care to make sure that we do not, that we have practiced journalistic integrity, that we do not release source information. And he's definitely held firm on, we're not going to release source information. But journalistic integrity also includes not releasing the information of victims of assault and violence, right? Like, you don't do that.
That's, I mean, cool. What especially do we need these people's passport numbers and full names for?
He essentially,
it sounds like it was lazy.
That's what happened. He essentially doxed them and I want to hope unintentionally. He essentially doxed them because, you know, and he also doesn't understand that that is a further perpetuation of assault. Yes, you have your initial assault from the regime that did whatever it did to these people. But then when you're putting them on blast like that and all of their personal information so that they can be outed to their families and have their identity stolen and whatnot, then you're perpetuating another form of assault. What they did to Leslie Jones was assault. And by extension, what Wikipedia has done to the victims of violence here is assault. So there's no mincing that. At the same time, what he has implied is that the assault is because of lazy processes as opposed to intentional fuck them. It really doesn't matter. The effect is the same on these people. So it's really sad. But yeah, I mean, Julian got issues, right? Like he's been had issues. I mean, so in this sense, this level of moral obtuseness doesn't surprise me. One thing I hope that he holds firm about is not releasing his sources.
Well, all I can say is people think that WikiLeaks is so great and I don't, because there's a very fine line in making things transparent that otherwise wouldn't be, and literally sabotaging or swaying outcomes and having a major negative impact on people's lives. And if you're in bed with horrible people, like with the DNC dump, if you're getting that information from Russians who are perhaps trying to influence the U.S. presidential election, then you have to ask yourself where your moral high ground is if you're playing with those guys. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we don't know that DNC hack specifically.
No, we do. There were three independent organizations that all say that it's very clear that it came from Russia.
Mm-hmm. So that might be Edward Snowden. We don't know. He in Russia. He got to work for his keep. It gets free living in the Kremlin.
Well, he's learned now who he's in bed with. In other white oppression news.
That's too much news. I can't do white oppression news segments. That's just too much news all the time. We don't got enough time. I got enough breath. I need a chamomile tea or something. Loosen up the vocal cords.
I'm sure many of the our listeners saw the pictures that circulated this week of armed police officers ordering Muslim women to remove their burkinis on beaches in Nice.
Yes, white feminism. Yes. Do that, white feminism. Be you.
Let's be really clear, right? So the Senate of France on the 14th of September in 2010 passed a ban of face covering headgear. That included masks, helmets, and niqabs, right? They passed that so that people could not cover their face in public spaces. A lot of people in that country and elsewhere thought that that was a liberating act, whereas, one, France didn't even have a lot of people wearing the burqa at that time. It has actually increased the amount of people wearing it. Two, what it does is it takes away the freedom of the women who wear the burqa because they can no longer be in public spaces. So because that wasn't enough, France decided to ban the burkini. That just happened and it's still in the courts. They're still trying to figure out if it's even a legal ban. But what people need to understand about the burkini is it was created by Ahida Zanetti, who is Australian. And she didn't create it simply out of the Islamic context. Yes, it is something that allows women who have to dress a certain way to go into public, but it also allows, as she completely illustrates in an article this week, it allows people who, you know, lack body confidence. It allows people who suffer from skin cancer. It allows, for example, new mothers to go out, be in public, swim in public, and enjoy their lives. She considers it something that's liberating and empowering. And what kills me about France is this is a place, like, the French consider themselves so liberated and so free. This is a place that up until 1965, married French women had to obtain a permission from their husbands in order to work. 1965.
Sounds fair. Sounds fair. Okay. Go on. Reasonable restrictions.
They just recently, I think it was like 2005, they changed the law so that a divorce would be easier if initiated by women. You know, 1967 is when contraception was introduced in a way that women could get it without the permission of men. 1975, they legalized abortion, and so on and so forth. So while everyone's memory seems to be very short in that country about women's rights, and now they claim they're doing something for women's rights because they assume that all Muslim women are oppressed, which they are not, I think it's infuriating. Because there's even a picture circulating right now on the internet that shows that men used to actually measure the little, you know, you remember those swimsuits that were actually more like a onesie, but shorts, really tight fitting onesie as shorts. Men used to be on the beach with a ruler measuring to make sure that the shorts weren't too short on French beaches. An imam posted a picture of nuns fully clothed on the beach. What's the difference? What's the difference?
Yeah, because you can be a nun, but you can't be a Muslim, right? Like, you can be Christian, but you can't be Muslim.
I mean, in France, they are all over, you know, they're even worse than the States when it comes to that separation. They want nothing to do with the church.
Oh, stop it. They got church bells ringing in my ear every 5 minutes in France. Stop the nonsense about we're so separate from the church. Really? Yeah. Why aren't y'all working on Sundays?
Like, right.
They, you know, they have things codified from the church in their history as law. It is not like a completely secular state. What they're trying, this is about race, you know, Islam is a stand-in and has been racialized in the European context. Uh-huh. And so this is about race and this paranoia that feeds into white supremacy about a loss of some sort of like ever valuable and of course more valuable culture. Right. Because French culture is paramount to human rights. That is essentially what they're saying. There's a lot of people that I wish, you know, could understand that you can't like go up to a woman, any woman, whether they're Muslim or whatever their background is, and force them to undress at gunpoint. Like, that's bananas. That's like so violent. I really want her to sue the shit out of them. That's what I want. I want them to like lose their. I want her to bankrupt that town. That's what I want, because that's ridiculous right there.
It's ridiculous, but it's also, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. There's no reasoning that I can find that you can even connect to the terrorist attacks that they've had over the last 18 months. Yes, they have been horrible and they have been repeated. But other than one person who I believe was the girlfriend and was somehow helping them, as far as I know, all of these people were men. So how are you prohibiting or keeping people safe by attacking women on a beach in Nice who are just trying to enjoy their lives as everyone else there? There's nothing you can say that can make that reasonable.
Oh, they could say a lot to try and sleep better at night. But yeah, there is nothing you could say. And this has been part of a colonial fantasy for a long time. It didn't come up with the burkini and France. It's not the first time that this has happened. There's a lot of racialized sexual fantasy around like these Western white men colonializing these Arabian nations, right? And liberating these women through undressing them and sexualizing them and making them imposing this sort of nakedness upon them. And that somehow turns them into
you know, a real Western woman. I mean, and of course, this is the colonial mentality that has been given to a lot of horrible things that European nations have done. You know, when they go into cultures and make indigenous religions, languages, practices illegal, and they say, oh no, because we're spreading Christianity. If you read all of the dispatches of Europeans talking about their own foul deeds, you'll see that the best of intentions were behind, you know, handing out those smallpox blankets. The best of intentions are behind, you know, basically sexually assaulting these women by asking them to remove their clothing in public for all to see. The best of intentions don't mean shit to white folks because their history is such that they are programmed and they have a tradition of imposing a colonial structure on people of color and other parts of the global South and the world that is super oppressive. And they don't even see it as such. That's how that works for them. Now, one high note of this is that in Scotland, the hijab is now an official part of the police uniform. So it's great to see that there are points of light in all of this. But at the end of the day, my hope is that this burkini ban is proven unconstitutional through the high courts in France.
Well, I'm not that hopeful considering the burqa went through these same courts and was allowed to remain, the burqa ban. So we'll see. I think it's completely absurd that people think that they're enacting freedom by forcing people.
Yeah, I mean, France only believes in freedom of expression if you are trying to put out some racist humor. So exactly, maybe that's what, exactly. Yeah, so maybe that's what people of the burkini need to do. It's like, you know, you wear a burkini and then you put ha-ha on the front. It's just like, this is hilarious. It's a joke. Get it? It's a joke.
It's satire.
It's satire. And therefore, it's allowed.
And in our third and final segment, what are we excited about? What are we looking forward to? Tell it.
Why I gotta go first? I went first the last
because that's how this works.
Times.
This is the format. Go on.
It's the format?
Yes.
Okay. I see how you are. What am I excited about? What am I looking forward to? Oh my gosh, there's so many things. Where do I start? Okay, let me go. So I think the first thing is my many travels. As you guys know, I travel the world and I share the gospel, the good news that is myself. And so I'm really excited about going to Frankfurt. You say I can't be excited about that, but you're not the boss of me. And this is like my expression freedom. So my travel to Frankfurt is what I'm excited about. It's coming up.
Why are you excited about it?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, you know, I've been in Vienna for a whole month. Like, I need to go somewhere. But I'll also be giving a presentation. I really like Frankfurt, even though it's kind of just like an up and down. It's a very businessy city. And I have some friends there. Oh, so I'm excited about that.
Very nice.
And what are you excited about, Miss?
I'm excited because for the first time ever, I'm going to be able to go to Notting Hill Carnival in London. It's a huge deal here.
Oh.
It takes place. Oh, it really actually starts today, which I didn't know. But the big carnival parade, it takes place over the course of 2 days on Sunday and Monday, which is a bank holiday here. And on Monday, that's kind of the big hurrah. Sunday is kind of the children's and family safe day that I'm actually considering going to because Monday, a friend of mine is celebrating her birthday and we're going to be barbecuing. But yeah, I'm really excited about Notting Hill Carnival. I've heard so many good things about it, how it brings the cultures together. It's a very special experience. I enjoyed the similar event that takes place in Berlin, which is called, you know, the Carnival of Cultures. So yeah.
Awesome. That sounds dope. But you don't need to lay off this putting out like you just be in the house with Netflix because you be here that way more than me. Like
not
when
true.
I go outside, I'd be like, I got dressed up the other day to go across the street for coffee.
Yeah, so. Well, you are a coffee aficionado, so it is an experience.
All I'm saying is that, you know, you lady are about town. You doing your thing.
A little bit.
Getting out the house on a regular basis. You got things in your calendar. You know.
I can't come to that because it conflicts with that.
I mean, you got things. I don't know when you had no time for no Netflix. They got no time.
Me and Netflix are tight. We are very tight. But I'm mad right now because my VPN, they having some issues and I need for them to get it back straight.
No, so Netflix killed my VPN. I just want
that. Oh, yeah, they've been killed it. I had to go on to a paid VPN.
I had a paid VPN. Oh. You don't understand what I'm saying. Like, I had I had that joint, and Netflix was like, nope.
Yeah.
Tried another one. Netflix was like, you thought.
Well, my paid VPN, the support wrote me yesterday. They said they're on the case. They got the solution.
You're going to have to
just asking us to have a little patience. I was like, I got a little patience. I ain't got a lot of patience.
You're going to have to give me links because all I got right now is old episodes of House.
Stop. You can watch all the Netflix original series, so you can go and watch The Get Down.
I told you my heart isn't ready for The Get Down.
Oh, goodness.
And I'm in a more stable place in my life, financially, emotionally, and spiritually. I will be watching The Get Down. Right now, I feel like I'm in a very tender place. It could go either way with me.
Okay.
So, yes, but I know The Get Down is so dope. I know it seems like a work of art.
But it does.
The reviews have said that it is actually, I think in total, The Get Down, if you add up all the episodes, it's like 10 hours. And people have said it's like a 10-hour movie.
Yeah. Similarly to Stranger Things, which is 8 episodes and an 8-hour movie. Well, that's all for this week. If you would like to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter at The Queer Truth. We'd love to hear your thoughts on some of the things we've discussed today, so feel free to get at us. And just a little reminder, that's not going to get old anytime soon. We're on Patreon, so if you'd like to support us because you will enjoy what you hear and you want us to keep going, check out our page on Patreon, The Queer Truth, and hit us up. Even with a $1 donation, we'd be very thankful. Until next time. Peace out.